With so much uncertainty about the economy, many are starting out the year a little anxious, whether they're thinking about the Ponzi scheme of Bernard Madoff or the shaky stock market, or to perhaps a bad personal decision that they may have made. And a bad personal decision is something that Dan Ariely, a behavioral economist, learned can easily send one in a downward spiral. Dan joins us from Durham, North Carolina, with a story about the little picture and the big picture. He's a James B. Duke professor of behavioral economics at Duke University and the author of Predictably Irrational. Welcome and good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
So you got locked into a bad decision about car insurance. Start there and tell us what happened.
Okay, so I was out of the country for a few weeks, and when I got back, I realized that my insurance has elapsed. So this was a mistake I made. I called my insurance agency. I apologized, and I said, can I give you the credit card number for you to renew it? And they said, no. Now that you let your insurance elapse, you're kind of in a category of bad people with bad credit and bad reputation. You have to come in person. Now, that year I was living in Princeton and my car was still registered in Cambridge, and making the trip was not an easy thing, so I tried to beg them, no way. I called a few other insurance agencies. Everybody came up with the same story. I had to come in person because now I was a persona non grata from an insurance perspective. So I took the hit. I took the train up from Princeton to Boston. I got to the insurance agency, but then I learned a few more facts. First of all, my insurance premium went up by about $500. I lost all
$500?
Yeah.
Wow.
I lost all the benefits of being kind of a good person and a good driver and all of those discounts. And all of a sudden, I had to pay a higher amount. Then the second thing they told me, I had to pay it in cash. Now, I had a few $100 on me by accident, and I had two ATM cards, so I went and I got another $800. But this was enough for just about half of the premium. It was not enough for the whole thing. So I said, look, I'll pay you half now, and I'll pay you half tomorrow with the check. They said, no, you have to pay everything in cash today. I didn't have the money. So they said, luckily for you, we have a loan program that for $100 initiation fee and for 20.5%, you too can get a loan for half of the year that you're missing, and this it's a very simple process, it's a very simple form, we can do it in a minute. I had no other choice, so I took the loan, and of course I paid it a week later. But and then I took the train back to Princeton, and I started driving my car again. Now, here is the thing. You know, if you think about it, I made a mistake, a financial mistake, a little bit like bouncing a check or defaulting on some payment. But think about the sequence of bad things that happened to me afterward. I lost a day of work. I lost the tickets from Princeton to Cambridge. I lost a $500 increase in my premium, a $100 penalty. I had to pay all this money in advance. Now think what would happen if I was close to being on the verge of making it or not making it financially. This could have just put me in a downward spiral. And in fact, I started looking into this idea more and more recently, and it turns out it's a very general strategy of what the finance and banking industries are doing to the people who are making mistakes. Think about something like free checking. I'm assuming you have free checking?
Yes.
How do you think the banks pay for it? They don't only pay for it, they make a lot of money out of it. How come? It's the people who get stuck with these bouncing checks or overdraft with their debit cards.
So that, but in that scenario, some people lose and then other people gain, but you've suggested in some of the stuff that you wrote about this that actually there is this penalty, this punitive system that generally ends up to be unfair for everyone.
Well, it's mostly unfair for the poor. It's mostly unfair for the people who are barely managing it. You know, the people who are doing financially okay usually don't suffer that much. I, for example, you know, lost a little bit, but it wasn't a big deal. Imagine I was close to not being able to pay my credit cards, not paying, being able to pay my mortgage. All of this would push me down.
Or if you had to depend on your car for work, or you actually drove a car for a living, it would actually destroy you.
That's right. And think about what's happening in the banking. here is what happened, John. Imagine that you have $20 in your checking account and you're buying today a book for $25 and three lattes. And imagine that your paycheck is coming today. Now, you buy the book, you buy three lattes, the check comes today. The bank at midnight, when they update your account, could do one of three things. They can first put your check in and then charge you. But instead, they do something differently. They first start by charging you.
Ah.
And not only do they start by charging you, they start by charging you for the big things first. So you had $20 in your checking account, and you charged $25 on a book. Bing, you owe them $35 for overdraft. Then three lattes, three more hits. Ah. Now you owe them $140, four times 35. And now, a fraction of a second later, they put in your check in.
So what can we? So what can we do, Dan?
Well, kind of from a social perspective, what we have to understand is what we're doing is we are basically abusing the poor by having this penalty system, and they're paying for the rest of us. They're subsidizing for the rest of us free checking, for example. And what we need to do is we need to start. I think all of us need to start sharing, paying for these services. We should change the system from being a penalty-based system that penalizes people who are making mistakes and necessarily and most likely are in bad financial situation, and taxing everybody in an equal way. And for a long time, we didn't care so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more and more we understand that we're all financially tied together. And unless we let the people who are at the bottom of the income pyramid basically manage, we are getting them to get losing their financial stability. And by doing that, we're all doing the same.
And very quickly, Dan, you have some advice, though,
overall,
in the big picture.
I'm a professor. I
know, but we're running out of time and we got to go. But listen, you said that so many of us are very anxious about the economy, and so it's good to have a third person sort of to run things by so that we don't find ourselves making these dumb decisions or bad decisions that might land us in the situation you found yourself in or some other bad situation.
Yeah, so,
you have about 10 seconds.
If you think about the stock market, we are likely to be invoked by emotion and make very bad decisions. So whenever you think about a situation where your emotion can get the best out of you, it's good to get a person between you and your decision. A broker, your mother, a friend, somebody who will help you diffuse those emotions and make better decisions.
And that's a perfect takeaway. Dan Ariely, thank you so much. Dan Ariely is a James B. Duke Professor of Behavioral Economics at Duke University.
Definitely don't get mad, but figure out an advisor to help you get even with the financial world that's charging you all these fees. Here's your takeaway for this hour.
The way for him to capitalize is to do something he's gotten very good at, which is to criticize the Arab states for talking a good game on behalf of the Palestinians and doing very little for the Palestinians.
Noah Feldman talking about Iran's interest in the Gaza crisis. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Adora Udoji.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.